You are. we are. His love never changes. He never weakens, wears off, or fails. His love never dies. His love surpasses all others. His promise to us comes in love, that he will never leave or forsake us. In Ephesians 1 verse 5, 4 through 5, the Bible teaches us that God loved us before he created the earth. God loved us then, and he still loves us now, regardless of our sins, our mistakes, or our struggles. Our God is a loving God, a caring God, a listening God, and he's a shoulder to lean on. We know how much God loves us, because he gave his one and only Son into this world that we may be saved through him. God is love, and all who live in him live in God, and God lives in them. His love endures forever. Thank you, Jesus, for your undying love. We love and we praise your holy name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. that the Word of God fills us alive. Well, I got a testimony. You judge it and think about it, you know, what we do in life. Well, a few days ago, I was in my house, I was by myself, you know, in my room, I live by myself, and I got a roommate, like, standing there. I sit down and I was like, God, you know, I feel alone. Tell me what to do. I will do it. Show me, you know. Show me there, what way to go. I will do it for you. I will do it. And then, well, I found myself the same day. I was praying 10 times in my house. That's the Lord telling me, okay, that's what I want you to do there. I was praying. Later on, Sister Stacy sent me a message on Facebook. She's like, hey, you know, Pacific Community Bible Church would like to read the scripture. She said, sure, I would love to. That's what Jesus wanted me to do, stay here and talk about him.
Yes.
And pass the word. Because I don't want this to happen to me like to Jonas, you know. And he went bigger. I don't want that. And then, society, you know, changed a lot. I got friends that believe in God. I have friends that believe in God. Like one of my coworkers yesterday, I was talking about God at work. You know, the last few days I've been talking about God. And it's like, you know, you are a friend of him? I said, yes, I am. He's my friend. And you're my friend too. And he's like, well, I don't believe in God. That just broke my heart. It broke my heart so bad because I know him the last 8 years. And finally, yesterday, he told me he don't believe in God. That just broke my heart. And I started praying for him. Praying for him. Well, that's one of my testimonies. Like I said, that, you know, I've been, the last couple days, I've been praying to God, trying to serve to God, and I've been talking about that. And then, Sister Gina said, you know, I got hurt. I've been battling with the evil, with the devil. I told you what, you know, if you fell down every day, if you feel like you lie, you get hurt, hey, be like the sun. Every day, you go down and you lost. But it's what? Every morning, it's coming bright and strong.
Yes. From there,
you know?
Yes.
Well, today, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray a heart free of sadness, a mind free of worries, a life full of gladness, a body free of illness, and a day full of God's blessing. Good morning. God bless you.
My redeemer, my land.
probably less than 10 minutes we'll be finished. And I just want to say this outside of the script, just to be careful. I was studying for a sermon that the Lord gave me to preach sometime, and studying on it for a little while. Doing some extra study on it this weekend, and it turned me to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and I started reading through that. I recommend you read it. I'm going to read it to you today, because something may jump out at you that may be something different than what jumped out at me. But the heart of the writer is saying in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, beware, be careful of the extremes. Be careful of the extremes. He's not encouraging us to be lukewarm. He's not encouraging us to be wishy-washy or uncommitted. What he is saying is that we just need to be aware of the extremes. He even goes so far as to say, don't be too righteous. Then he says, don't be too wise. Don't be too wicked. And don't be foolish. And on his list goes of many things. Be wary of the extremes. God has put us together to be here in this meeting today. By his providence, by his design, by his plan, and by his single sovereign plan, we are here today. We are alive and breathing on the earth, in this country, in Fairfield, at this time, by the design and plan of God. I don't want to miss what God is doing right now. If you have any further questions on my intriguing thoughts, you can look on my Facebook page. There I posted scripture and some thoughts to go with it. You can look a little bit deeper. As a efficiency expert, I love to streamline things. I love for things to flow and come together right. And we never recognize that 99.9% of our skin on our body that's healthy and vibrant and pliable and together. The only thing that we notice is that scab on our elbow. And you know what we do with it, don't you? We pick at it all the time. And even if we don't want to pick at it, it gets picked and bleeds, and we have to put Angry Bird Band-Aids on it. And I know that's a little bit out of crazy thoughts there, but what I'm saying is that we need to enjoy the day that we have. And in the end of the account of the writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, hey, if you're here today and God gave you strength to work, enjoy your strength, enjoy your work. If you're here today and God put food on your table, enjoy your table, eat your food, and rejoice in the day that God has given you. Don't worry about yesterday. Don't worry about tomorrow, Jesus said. For the things about tomorrow will take care of the things of themselves, and sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. And don't worry about yesterday. The writer of Ecclesiastes said, don't sit around saying how come things were better in the good old days. And in all kinds of extreme things, he tells us where you're at and where God has put you is right where he wants you. And if that be the case, then he has a purpose and a plan, both to give you joy in this life and to make you have an impact on the world around you. Don't miss those opportunities by living in the extremes of what used to be, living in the extremes of what might be, living in the extremes of being all this way or all that way. Let's just enjoy the moment that God has given us in our lives. Lift our hearts and our voices up to him in praise and just relish every moment that God gives us. Whatever that our hand finds to do, let's do it with all of our might. That's why we're here today. That's why we praise him. That's why we serve. Because it is the opportunity that we have this morning. I just want to say that we have started we've done a soft launch on our home groups. And I wish that every person in this church would be a part of our home groups. It's a unique opportunity for us to grow together, for us to emulate the biblical Book of Acts church, where they celebrated daily in worship and prayer. They also shared meals together daily. How many of you eat every day? Almost. How many of you eat almost every day? And finding reasons to intersect our lives together. And there is a unique opportunity that each and every one of us has to both be blessed and to be a blessing in our home groups. Thank you, Sister Karis, for working out the menu. And God's already got his hand in the middle of the pie, doesn't he? And we didn't know we were having spaghetti, but God provided an 18-quart roaster full of spaghetti. And so we just, we're just, I mean, to anybody else, Sister Karis, that may not mean a thing. But to you, you know that God is working, that he's got, what a wonderful blessing. Oh, I don't even have to cook today. So, oh, hallelujah. It's amazing, isn't it, your ministry? And one of the things that you're good at is cooking. One of the things that you love to do is cook. And God says, you know what, I do too. Here, here's the meal. God's funny the way he works. And so, we are starting, and we launched already. We already went through our first home group session discussing the issue of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. It says, but in English Standard Version, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And we will be using the English Standard Version wording. We will not be using the King James Version wording because there's a couple of words that are backwards in the King James Version, and I do not like that because that's not, they don't exemplify the appropriate meaning of the scripture there. And so for all intents and purposes, we will be adhering to the English Standard Version of the fruit of the Spirit. I know that may complicate things for our Sunday school teachers who've always taught it with the King James Version to their memory, but as a church and as a home group, we want to learn the nine fruit of the Spirit that Paul lists to the Galatian church with the English Standard Version format. And you have that in your writings. You can study up on that. I've given it to you in the printout, and you can remind yourself of it each week. And the purpose of this study and the purpose of these sermons that will be coming forward as the Lord allows us to bring them is that a Spirit-filled believer will produce thoughts, words, and actions which reflect the character of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, the things that I say are not my words. They are the words of my Father. Our goal as Christian followers and believers is not to speak our own words, but our goal is to speak the words of Christ. Our goal is not to think the thoughts of ourselves, but our goal is to think the thoughts of Christ. Our goal is not to feel and to do and to act of ourselves, but to feel and to do and to act of Christ. Charles Sheldon wrote a book called In His Steps. And the book tells the story of a group of Christians who made a pact. And they determined to ask themselves the question, what would Jesus do? And before they spoke or made any decision, they asked themselves this question time and again, all throughout the day. What would Jesus do? And the book describes the dramatic changes in their lives. Making decisions they felt most closely related to how Jesus would act. It changed their relationships, their families, their churches, their jobs, and even their whole entire community was powerfully transformed. And so in our fall home group semester, we're going to be studying about the fruit of the Spirit found there in Galatians chapter 5. And each one of the spiritual fruits represents the character and values of God. Our goal is to come to a better understanding of what they are and to make sure that we are bringing these fruits into maturity in our daily lives. I don't believe that there is anything that you can do to stop that The fruit of the Spirit is one of those things you can't stop it. You can't help it. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, they are going to naturally be produced in your life. The struggle, I guess, that we have is recognizing them for what they are and allowing them to grow healthy and mature. For the strong, thank you, Sister Strong, for singing and worshiping. It was good to have you all with us this week. And for the strong was not able to preach for us this time, but he was at our home group Wednesday night, and he made a very powerful statement that had an impact, I think, on quite a few of our members. We were talking about fruit and everything, and he brought up apple, and he said that he had heard it said, you can count the seeds in the apple, for the little posted it on Facebook, but you can't count the apples in the seed. God didn't just fill us with the gift of the Holy Spirit to make us feel happy. God didn't fill us with the gift of the Holy Spirit to make us just whatever, just for self-indulgence. But God filled us with the Holy Spirit to provide an endless resource of godly attributes and traits and fruits flowing in our lives. When the Spirit is moving, when the Spirit is flowing, things that we think, say, and do, and feel, be motivated by the Holy Spirit. And our goal is, this fall semester, is to challenge the church to spend time sowing, watering, and cultivating the spiritual gifts and the spiritual fruits. I don't think there's any question in anybody's mind that when God works a miracle, when God, Brother Patrick was testifying about his friend being healed, cancer in his ear, and they just got together and prayed a simple and sincere prayer right there on the spot. We don't do enough of that. And I think that it's obvious to us that we as American Christians, we readily receive the concept that for a miracle to take place, the Spirit of God has got to move. In order to see a healing, in order to operate the gifts of the Spirit, we must have a moving of the Spirit. But somehow we lose the connection that if we are to produce the fruits of the Spirit, then they also emanate from the same exact source in the same exact sort of way and form and fashion. So if we pray for God to heal, we should pray for God to help us to love. If we pray for God to heal or to work a miracle, we should pray for God to give us patience. If we pray for God to answer difficult prayers and situations, we should also pray for peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Because those things are all produced by the power of God in our lives. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ should have branches that are weighted down with juicy fruit, full of good works, full of good fruits being produced by the power of God. How did you deal with that situation? It's easy. I'm filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and God's patience was produced inside me. How are you so happy all the time? It's easy. I've been watering and cultivating, and God's Spirit produces joy inside of me that I don't have the ability to produce on my own. Not a passing joy of winning the lottery. Not a passing joy of buying a new iPhone. Not a passing joy of any of that. Those things fade so quickly. But living and walking in the powerful Spirit of God, amazing things are produced in our lives that make us who we are, that make us what God has called us to be, and cause us to live life to the fullest. How many of you want to live life to the? How many of you want to live life half-heartedly? How many of you want to live life lackadaisically? How many of you just want to get life over with? Huh? How many of you are just sick of life and you really don't care whether you live or die? You just want to get it over with, and you just want to get the lowest possible grade so you can pass and move on to heaven. You get any amens on that? Or maybe you just want to get by. What's that old spiritualist saying in the South? If I could just make it in. If I could just make it in. You know? God wants us to live in the fullness of His Spirit. God wants us to live in the overflowing power and supply of His Spirit and not just be getting by. And how are we going to help somebody else if we can barely make it on our own? I want the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and all that the Spirit has to be produced in abundance in my life. Can I get an amen from that?
Amen.
I want everything that I do, whether it's a job, whether it's my family, just wow, you know? Just waking up in the morning and saying, I get to cook breakfast for my kids this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Saturday was fruit day, and that's fruit day in our house. And I got up and spent 45 minutes at Wally World picking up the fruit, getting the best fruit, came home and cut up a giant, huge plate of fruit with little bowls of extra fruits and cooked whatever the kids wanted to go with it. And, man, isn't that better than just an old-fashioned bowl of oatmeal? Nothing like oatmeal with a few blueberries in it. Nothing like oatmeal with a little butter. And how many of you eat your oatmeal plain? You put a little brown sugar or honey in it. Amen. God doesn't just want us to live a bland, plain, boring Christian life. God wants us to fill us with His joy and all of the fruits of His Spirit. If y'all would just respond a little more positively to that, I would dismiss you. Next week is General Conference. Ushers, if you would quickly, or did you already do it and I wasn't looking? Man, I'm getting so old. We.